Happy Friday. Welcome back to the show. We have a fun birth story episode for a fun Friday listen for you. And we have Carissa on. She is an Academy mom. And she actually is going to share both of her birth stories. She kind of started with the average kind of hospital birth, going in wanting an unmedicated birth and ending up with, you know, side attack, an epidural, pushing for 6 hours. And she completely did a 180 with her second baby, went in to the hospital and did it her way, had a pain-free birth, which is not how she described her first birth. And her husband caught her baby, which is just, you know, we talk about bringing in elements of the home birth. That's the best, one of the best elements to bring in, and probably one of the harder elements to bring into the hospital birth. So if you want to hear how she did it, you want to hear the difference between these two birth stories, let's just get straight to it and hear straight from Carissa. This is not your average birth podcast because you are not the average mom. Welcome to Unapologetically Unmedicated. I'm your host, Fierce Lizzie, and I am unapologetic when it comes to normal, physiologic, unmedicated birth. I want you to have your best birth because I know that an empowered birth leads to an empowered motherhood. If you want to be the boss of your birth and do birth your way, it's time to get informed, educated, and empowered. Before we jump into this truly empowered and informed birth story, I want to make sure you have Moms Off the Record added to your podcast player. April and Kat show up to each episode with uncensored topics that question the status quo and challenge the modern motherhood narrative. So if you want to be informed, not just on pregnancy, but all the way through birth and postpartum and motherhood, be sure to check out their podcast. In fact, I'm going to recommend episode number 23. It's called Informed Consent and Thinking Critically About Pharma and Vaccines with Just the Inserts. If you're not familiar with Just the Inserts, this is an Academy mom favorite resource. And this is just like the second podcast interview she has ever done. So be sure to go listen if you want to be informed as you make decisions around newborn procedures and maybe some of the vaccines that are recommended on the standard schedule for pregnancy. So be sure to add Moms Off the Record to your podcast player. Go ahead and subscribe and listen to episode 23. I will link it in the show notes for you. Hey, Carissa, thanks for coming on the podcast to share your birth stories with us today. Go ahead and introduce yourself and share a little bit about who you are and where you're located, what you do.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. My name's Carissa. I'm 36 years old. I'm married with two kids now, and we live in northern Idaho. And yeah.
How old are your kids?
My kids are almost three and a half and just about 5 months.
Oh, okay. 3.5 and 5 months. That's almost like what I would think is like the perfect gap, right? Does it feel that way?
Yeah. It's good. It still has its challenges because the three-year-old still requires help with some things, but yeah, mostly she can, mostly she can do a lot of things by herself. So it's good. I think it's a good gap.
Yeah. That's always the question, right? I get the, when, like, what is two is too soon.
Okay. Yeah.
3 years apart is better. 4 is pretty good. 5 is almost like, I don't know, is that too far? You know, some moms, you know, you want your babies to kind of go through all the stages together. So
yeah,
hit that nice sweet spot. Yeah. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about your first pregnancy and how that felt and some of the things that maybe you did to prepare for your birth.
My first one was a complete shock. I was not ready. I did not do much at all to prepare for my first one because I was just like, I'm just going to wing it. It's fine. I trust the healthcare system. My parents are nurses. My sister's a nurse. Mm-hmm. So I basically like grew up in a hospital and, you know, like I trusted all that because that's what I knew. So I did like nothing to prepare and I regret it so completely, so much. I didn't do anything. I read a few books. I was like, I want to go into this naturally as possible, you know, no epidural, any of that. And I didn't know anything. And by the time I went into labor and it was just chaos. But at the time I was like, okay, this is actually like, it's not that bad afterwards. And now like knowing as much as I know now, like it was a disaster. Yeah. I wish I did so many things.
Yeah. That, and I have a very similar story. You know that. And same, I read a book. I wanted an unmedicated birth. Just, it's not enough. It's not enough to prepare. I was going to ask you, so you wanted an unmedicated birth. Were you like, I absolutely do not want an epidural, or were you kind of in that middle ground? Like, well, I'll try for as long as possible, but maybe I'll like kind of keeping the option open. Which one were you more so?
With my first one that I was like, I want to go into this, no epidural, but it's still in the back of my head. If I absolutely need it, I'll get it. So I was still like open to that, but I didn't want it.
Right.
And yeah. Until I think I was in labor for about 8 hours before I asked for it. And my husband's like, are you sure? You told me you didn't want this. I'm like, just give it to me.
Yeah.
I can't take this anymore. And then that just slowed everything down. And we were there for way longer. It was just looking back on it, I was just like, just so disappointed with everything because I didn't know. I had no idea. I just, you know, you can't go in there winging it.
No, can't. Absolutely not. Yeah. That's perfect.
We've been all this together. Okay. Sorry about that.
No, please. Hey. I always have a baby on my lap when I'm podcasting.
I know.
You're don't like right now, but
super mom.
I mean, this is how you do it. This is it, right? my baby is 3 now, so like, imagine your baby being as old as your big kid. You know, like I'm on a whole like I've kind of exited out of the baby territory now. I'm still a toddler a little bit, but it's definitely different. It's,
it is
more manageable now. So I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. My husband has to say all the time, he's like, this isn't forever. I know it's hard, but like, you know, they're not going to be little forever. I'm like, are you sure? But look at this. They're not.
Yeah.
So the other thing I was going to ask you about your first birth, did they pressure you to get an induction at all?
No. Oh. They did not. No. Which did they? No, they didn't. They suggested it and just left that up to me just because my water broke and it was just a very slow leak. Then nothing happened. It happened really late at nighttime and I was like, I don't know if I just peed myself or what. And it didn't happen again. I waited probably like 12 hours before it happened again. I was like, okay, let's go. We're excited. Let's go figure it out. The roads were closed on the way to the hospital. So it took us an hour to get there. So that was just another like concern of mine. So I was like, let's just go. And I did ended up having a very slow leak and they gave me the option. They said, we can do, this, or this, or you can go home. I was like, well, oh, actually they did. They did actually. So I did take so long ago. I did end up getting induced. That's right. I took a little pill. I don't know the name of it, but I took a pill just to help, encourage contractions, but they didn't pressure. There was no pressure. They just gave me the options and said, what would you like to do? And because the roads were closed,
let's just do it. Drive, it kind of really cut out the option to go home. Yeah. But labor had already started. That was the start of your labor, was your water's leaking. So at least it wasn't, you know, a 39-week induction. How many weeks were you when you went into labor?
I was 40 and a few days.
Mm.
Probably 40 and 2 days by that point.
Yeah. So not really in the territory where providers are kind of like, well,
yeah,
you know, we're past the due date. Time to start thinking about an induction.
Yeah.
Okay. So you labored for about 8 hours unmedicated with no epidural, which now that could have been one reason that maybe it was more painful was because of having that, the induction, right? And then once, you know, everything slowed down, how much longer did you labor once you got the epidural?
Oh man, the epidural slowed everything down. I think it was another 8 hours before the morning time. And they come in at like 6 a.m, check my cervix. I'm like, all right, you're fully dilated. Let's start pushing. I was like, what? What? Okay. So they get me in a kind of a inclined, like semi-seated position with the bar and wrapped a sheet around it. It was like, hold on to this, put your legs up and use this as leverage. And I did that just forced pushing for 6 hours.
Oh no.
Six hours. Yeah. It was insane, but they didn't really like pressure me into doing it. They let me do it. They're like, everything looks fine. The baby looks fine. You look fine. You have the energy. You want to keep going. And I'm like, yes, get this thing out of me.
Right. You're like, I can't stop. Stop.
Yeah. What am I going to do? Have a sandwich? No, we got to keep going.
Could have probably used a sandwich, but yeah, it doesn't sound good.
No, we were there for far too long already. I was like, let's just hurry up.
Oh my God. But
yeah, it was so tough though, because you couldn't feel anything. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't know what's going on. I can't like gauge in my mind how much more like time, if you will, I have. Like, so yeah, I did that for 6 hours. She ended up pooping inside me. What is that? Meconium. And then that's when my midwife, who wasn't my midwife throughout my whole pregnancy, she was on vacation, of course. So this new midwife suggested, or she started getting like, okay, if we don't get this baby out, you're going to need a C-section. I'm like, you have the mirror up. She's like right there. Like I'm numb. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. And then I just pushed and pushed for another like hour. And she finally I was delivered.
Yeah, 6 hours is a long time. And I'm certain that there are other moms who were not given 6 hours, who were taken into cesarean and told their baby, you know, told that their baby was stuck or whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Did you have any extensive tearing after that?
I had a very minor tear, which I did need one or two stitches, but that's all, which I was kind of surprised. Of all the pushing,
maybe because it was so slow, like it was so long, slow movement. So yeah, that one benefit there. Oof.
Yeah, I know. Like, thank goodness.
All right, so then baby's born. Thank the Lord. It felt so long. Did you have the thought like, I'm never doing that again, or were you just like, that must be how birth is? Or what were your kind of first thoughts? I mean, obviously you're elated to meet your baby, right?
Yeah. It's like, thank goodness. My first thoughts were, I don't ever want to do this again.
Yeah.
Never again do I want to do this.
I'll say that too. I think we all pretty much to some extent, you know?
Uh-huh. Yep. And then, 3 years. No. Yeah. 2.5. Yeah. 3 years almost. Or no, she was 2.5. Okay, sorry. Like, time is
I know. I don't confusing. Understand that either. I get confused when I'm talking about like the difference between the kids' age and like one when one was born is different than their like age gap, you know? So
yeah,
I always mix that up too.
Yeah, so 2.5 years later, I got another surprise.
Woo!
But yeah, we were much more prepared for this for one sure. and stuff. And this pregnancy was so much different than my first one. My first one, I forgot I was pregnant half the time because I had no symptoms. until the end, I just was tired all the time. But this one gave me a lot of trouble the first 3 months, just your typical, you know, pregnancy symptoms. Yeah. But coming into hers, I was so much more prepared. I learned so much about pregnancy and birth and just health and my with myself and all of that. So coming into hers, I was very super excited to be pregnant again and just having the knowledge that I, you know, that I gained in between was really awesome.
Was it kind of like you were already preparing before you even got pregnant, like just kind of thinking ahead? Or was it like once you saw the positive test, you're like, okay, I am going to start preparing right now this time?
Yeah, it was basically when I saw the positive test, I was like, all right, it's go time.
I'm not waiting. I'm not just reading one book this time, right? So what were some of the things that you did?
Tons of books. I have a whole like library now. And then social media, Instagram has been just a godsend of information and getting in touch with people. And just there's just so much great information and pages to follow. I've a lot of my stuff came from learning on Instagram pages.
Yeah, it's really amazing how we can use, you know, Instagram kind of is sometimes not great, right? But that we can use it for good, and and it can become like this place where you're now, you get to curate who you're surrounded by, right? So like you can literally curate your feed to be all like positive birth. And so like when you're just not even intending to be preparing for birth, you're like, oh, I'm tired, I just put the baby down and I'm gonna scroll Instagram and boom, there you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Birth or, you know, preparing in some way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about when you, so did you give birth at the same hospital? It was an hour away again?
No. So by that time, we moved to North Idaho. We were in Arizona at the time. We moved to North Idaho right after the third or the first trimester. And so it was a brand new hospital, brand new midwife, everything. And it's right down the street from where I live now. So
much better.
Yeah, so much better.
Much better. Yeah, I couldn't imagine trying to, you know, inside the academy until you stay home as long as possible. Like having to factor in that 1 hour drive would have been, it makes it a lot trickier than just being right down the road. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was definitely like, should I go? Should I not? It's like, we're right down the street. I'll have the baby in the car. I don't care.
Which we have had some moms do that. So take us back to when you went into labor with baby two.
Baby number two. Oh, man. It's such a positive. I love talking about this. I wish I had more friends that enjoyed listening to me talk about it.
Right.
But I went into labor exactly a week early than my ETA, I like to call it, about midnight or one in the morning. I'm having this, I think I wrote this to you. I'm having this crazy dream that I'm pregnant and I'm going into labor and I'm feeling contractions and it's like, wow, this feels really real, but I'm still dreaming because they're going off and on. And I call my midwife and she ends up being Ina May. you're familiar with Ina May, right? Yeah. So it ends up being Ina May and she's like coaching me how to go through my contractions. And then I wake up because they're getting strong and I'm like, oh, these are real. Oh my gosh. These are real. I thought it was a dream. It was so crazy. So I'm laying there and like, they were very strong. Like I was having to breathe through it, trying not to wake up the rest of my family because we all sleep together. And about 5 a.m, I have to start getting up and walk around. Like I cannot lay here anymore. These are pretty intense. So I was not expecting that so early on. And yeah, they just kept progressively getting stronger and stronger and closer together. And my husband wakes up at 5 a.m. and he's like, what's going on? I was like, it's happening. And he's like, oh my gosh. And calls his mom. His mom was supposed to come from Seattle to watch our older kid. So we wait for her and contractions are just still kind of the same. And then they start slowing down. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this false labor? Like, we just had my mother-in-law on her way driving 5 hours. Like, I can't have her show up and it be, you know, not real. She has a life too. So I end up, I think that was like one, that was about like 1 PM. Mm-hmm. My contraction started slowing down. Mm-hmm. And I was, which it was like nice, but also I was like, oh man, it was disappointing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I remembered in just from the academy, I was kind of like looking through my notes and stuff and it's like, this could happen. This is a thing. This happens. Mm-hmm. Why don't I try to do some of the different stances and movements and little exercises that you gave? So I did a few of those, and the lunges are what kicked things back in. Oh, started going full force again. Like,
then.
Yeah. So it was only like I did like 2 sets of these lunges on both sides and just kind of like rocking around, and they kick-started those babies right back up, and it was go time. My mother-in-law showed up about probably an hour later, and I was going from the living room talking with her, walking back to my bedroom to have a contraction, and then it started off as like 5 minutes walking back and forth, and then mm-hmm. it was 3 minutes, and then it got to 2 minutes. I was like, okay, we should probably go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we show up to the hospital, and of course, they want to do, because it's a hospital, they want to check my cervix. And I'm just like yelling at them, like, you work with birth, you know, when someone's in labor, like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
Because it hurt worse than contractions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like, when I don't want
you were like in transition. Like, it's different.
Yeah.
A cervical check in transition than, you know, in early labor. Before, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But then they threatened to not take me back unless they checked. And I was like, you guys are all stupid. You should know better. So I let them check just to get it over with, because they were going to keep me in their little triage room. It's like, this baby's coming. I can tell.
Yeah.
and then, they got me back there and called my midwife. What labored in their bathtub for like 2 hours or so. And by 2.5, 3 hours, she was out.
Oh my gosh. That was really good timing. That was great timing.
So perfect. And that's like, is exactly what I wanted. I wanted to labor at home for as long as possible, because I didn't want to be pressured to do anything that I didn't want to do because, you know, of their time or,
mm-hmm.
because it was making them uncomfortable.
So they had a tub. You did the last hospital you were at have a tub?
It did.
Never gotten one in my hospitals.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah. So that's amazing that both of you had a tub. Did they didn't let you birth her in the tub though?
They didn't, but my midwife would have. I got the unicorn of midwives. I got so lucky. She was like, she understood how, like, physiological birth. She understood everything I wanted. And she's like, girl, have whatever you want. I will let you have this baby in this tub. The nurses aren't going to like it, but I don't care. I was like, oh, I love you. Yes. But she did end up having me get out, because she's like, go ahead and feel in there and see, can you feel the head? And I was like, oh, yeah, she's right there. So she's like, if you want to, go ahead and get out. And it took me like 10 minutes to decide. And I ended up getting out and just leaning over the tub. And I still gave birth in the bathroom. And the nurses didn't like that, of course. But she didn't care.
Oh, well.
And my husband got to catch her.
Oh, my gosh. That's so special.
Yeah.
She really was a unicorn midwife.
Yes.
Did you just get lucky, or did you interview? Like, did you seek her out?
So this hospital makes you meet with all of their midwives, because when you go into labor, you get whoever's on call at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through all of them, and I just like, I loved her the most. So
of course,
at the end, I saw her the most, and just hoped that she was there when I went into labor, and she was, and it just like, it was just so perfect. It
oh
was
my
like
God.
Perfect timing. Yeah.
I love that. So no 6 hours of pushing.
No, no. It was so just complete. You can't even compare being on an epidural and not, because, and I would do this again if I could, which is crazy because it didn't hurt. I thought I was scared, like it's going to hurt again. Cause I remember what it felt like the first time. Did not feel anything like the first time at all. I managed everything just because of all the information I knew and like the tips and knowing like where, you know, what, where I was in labor. Mm-hmm. You have that kind of like mental, like, okay, I'm here. There's not that much longer left to go. And yeah, it didn't hurt. It just was sensation. And yeah, I'll do it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it was very intense though, right? So like it didn't hurt,
yes,
but it was very intense. Yeah.
Very intense. Yeah. Very,
and
very intense.
How long was this labor? Because your last one, you were racking up the hours. You were like 8 hours,
yeah,
and then 8 hours.
Yeah. So total from when I started having contractions at like, I think it was 1 a.m.
Uh-huh.
I gave birth at 6 o'clock. She was born at 6:10 that night. So it was
That's still pretty long labor to manage, mm-hmm, that all unmedicated is something to be really proud of.
Yeah, I am. And I think staying at home for as long as I did helped with that so much, because you're comfortable. You don't have anything, mm-hmm, to worry about, no distractions. You're in your space, and mm-hmm, it made a world of difference.
Mm-hmm. And you stayed home until your contractions were 2 minutes apart.
Yeah.
Which is way longer than most moms think that they should stay home. And you still, mm-hmm, had a couple hours after that. So that's, I mean, that was so smart,
yeah,
that you stayed until they were 2 minutes apart.
Yeah. And I was going into it too, like, I'll have this baby in the parking lot, or, you know, I'm going to have a home birth. On accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because I didn't want to be pressured into anything I didn't want to do. But this, mm-hmm, hospital ended up being just amazing. They respected everything that I wanted, didn't push anything on me. And yeah,
you didn't even really have to advocate for anything while you were there, right?
Not much. Some things, because when the nurses start getting involved,
mm-hmm,
they didn't read my birth plan. Mm-hmm. They would kind of like, you know, they have their way of doing things and their, mm-hmm, procedure. And so I had to kind of like get a few of them to like, back off. I don't want this. Quit asking me. And like, read my birth plan, please. Bye. Leave me alone. So once I got there, it was the nurses that were more like inconvenienced by the things that I didn't want them to do.
Right.
But other than that, everyone was amazing.
That's awesome. And then the other question I was going to ask you is, did your husband change how he supported you from your first birth to your second birth? Like, was he more prepared too?
He was, because I made him.
Yes.
I would send him things on through Instagram, you know, read these books that I have out loud, or like, just, mm-hmm, you know, send him things or talk about things like, hey, this is what I need you to do. This is what, mm-hmm, I want you to read up on. And mm-hmm, he was so open to all that. He's amazing. And he felt more comfortable with it this time because he knew more and like knew more on how to support me and what to say and everything. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful.
You think that made a big difference in your experience too, and being able to like hold off on the epidural the whole time?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. You have a little cheerleader there for you, telling you, you know, all these positive things. It helps a lot.
Yeah. What was your favorite support tool? Was it the affirmation, like just being encouraged?
Yeah. Being encouraged and, Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah. It's a game changer to mm-hmm. be, you know, just told like, you can absolutely do this. This is your plan. I know it's really, really intense, you know, but yeah, that encouragement to keep going is.
Yeah. And just remind you, like, this is what you've talked about this whole 9 months. Like, this is what you want. You're going to be disappointed if you don't do, you know, the things that you've been talking about this whole time.
I would be so mad if my husband let me get an epidural.
Yeah, right?
Like, him, what? You know, I do not, absolutely do not want one, you know? Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, do you have any last words of wisdom or advice for a mom who's listening now, who's maybe planning an unmedicated birth in the hospital?
Yes. First of all, take your course, Unmedicated Academy. It was the lifesaver. I can't even put it into words how helpful it was for me. And it didn't feel like a class. It was just like this super awesome woman telling you like how things are and how it is. And it just, yeah, the way you delivered your videos and everything was, it just felt very natural and not like pushy and just like mm-hmm. encouraged you to go do your own research as well. And so I would say just taking the class and mm-hmm. researching everything, the right. more knowledge you have, the more power you have, the more confident you become because you know these things and you won't have doctors or midwives or nurses telling you otherwise because you know. And they think you don't. So going in there knowing things, like they're shocked. A lot of people I talked with, they're like, you can tell they respected me more because of the questions I was asking and the responses I would give after they told me certain things. So doing all of the research and having a great support system behind you and letting them know, talk about exactly what you want. And envision, you know, put that in your mind. Just think about that all the time. And that it's very helpful and it works. So
I love that. Thanks, Carissa. That's great feedback. I've never had anyone say that like it didn't feel like a class. Like it didn't feel like, you know, like, oh, I'm just sitting here watching lecturing. So that was great.
Yeah, no, it was very, thank you. Because when I was done and I'm sitting there like, basking it all in, I just like wanted to text you and be like, thank you so much. You gave me so much confidence going into this. And it was so helpful. I've told everyone that I know that's gotten pregnant after me, like, you need to take this. And it was amazing. And I learned so much. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah. No, that means a lot to me because I was you. You know, like, I had a very similar story to you, so I get it. And like, you didn't have a doula, right?
No, my husband was my doula.
Like, I couldn't afford a doula. So like to have something that is kind of meets you in the middle, that means mm-hmm. a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very helpful because I could kind of like still advocate for myself as well because mm-hmm. just of everything I learned and I like knew so much.
Awesome. I actually hear that a lot. I need to talk about that more, that academy moms, when they actually like, just like you said, when they actually have those conversations, they get treated differently. Like a lot of moms say this and it's just, it's kind of sad actually.
It is. It really is.
You know, moms who don't have those conversations kind of as less than, but good to know that. Something as small as a conversation like that can kind of change the trajectory of the rest of your care is amazing.
It really is.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today on the podcast. If this episode gave you confidence in being more unapologetic, if you felt more empowered from listening to the show, it would mean so much if you took just 30 seconds to leave a rating and review. This is how we can get the show out to more moms who need it so that they can join us in the Empowered Moms Club too. I'll be back again with another episode in just a couple days. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss a thing. Until then, stay fierce, friend.